And what of all, we have the land bank here, but we also have very importantly the ministry here. His Excellency Minister Nene, who wrote around the world, you might have gathered, he was in Turkey, and he was meant to go to Ethiopia last week, so it's nice to have him here. And he's going to say a few words. The land bank is here with its annual report. We just did a quick overview last week of the report. You have it before you. Unfortunately, Bridget is doing interviews for the Space Ministry, but have a researcher appointed at long last. Okay? So she's not here. Alan, of course, our committee secretary, our main committee secretary, not here either. He's at a tax conference, so is Dave Van Roy. Apart from that, those who are not here should be penalized very heavily for not being here, and we shall do so as the majority party's disciplinary rules allow for. We started them in 1995, and we are still obviously finalizing them. It's only 20 years later, and it's too much to expect that you will have cleared that rule. The DA hasn't even started, so I don't know what they're laughing about. They haven't even started. Alright, okay. Right, people are going to be deluded. Mr. Kovac apparently is stuck in another meeting from Kwanquas away at some other meeting. Both of them are both are very active members of this committee, and they're always calling when they can. So really, we appreciate their participating in the meeting. Over to the minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. This is a very clumsy pitching arrangement. Chair, I actually had taken this very seriously. I thought it started at 9 o'clock. No. So, my apologies, Minister, Chairperson, is that I would like to be relieved soon after making my brief remarks, because I have another engagement. I had hoped to stick around until 10 for an hour. Chair, we appear before this committee in order to fulfill an important responsibility of accounting to the committee with the land bank. As you know, in 2008, the bank implemented a turnaround strategy which covered three themes. The first was the cleanup phase, which focused on prioritizing those areas which were identified in audit reports and investigations to ensure that the bank resumes operations within government guidelines and regulations. No, at that time, it was a real bad shape. The second was that of the stabilization phase, which focused on putting in place operations, management systems, people and funding strategies, and ensuring that the overall effectiveness for the long-term health of the bank. The third area was the area of sustainability, which focused on improving the performance of the transformed bank by changing the fundamental proposition and focus of the bank's purpose in a professional and sustainable way. The first two phases of the turnaround strategy were successfully implemented by the bank and its previous leadership. If we just look at the highs since 2008, high growth in lending book of 13% per annum over the last 7 years, improved cost efficiency, reducing the CIR from 71% to 55%, that's the cost to income ratio over the last 7 years, and the decline in the non-performing loan ratios from 14.6% to 3.2% over the last 4 years. Also, the increased focus on development agenda by setting up a dedicated business division, the REM, retail emerging market. At the beginning of the third phase, the bank chose to review its successes and gain strong understanding of its implementing changes, which would be critical to enhancing long-term sustainability. The results, Chair, without boring you with a whole list, but that's what we are going to be talking to. I'm sure the Chief Executive and the Chairman will talk to that. But our results demonstrate a strong progress that has been made over the past 12 months in the year under review. It's not only in a strong position to navigate through this environment, but also given the liquidity and capital levels, we're confident that the bank's ability to fulfill its mandate in support of the National Development Plan is much more in line. Notwithstanding these strong financial results, Chairperson and committee members, the operating environment remains tough. It's characterized by a liquidity crunch in the domestic market. Margins also also came under pressure as the Reserve Bank hiked interest rates during financial year and the review. And despite these challenges, also the bank has posted healthy gains for this year, recording a net profit from continuing operations of 352 million rand. Governance has also remained at the forefront of the action, which was led by the chairperson, Dr. Mbane, and the acting CEO, Ms. Mtalose, at the time, in the financial year. During the year under review, Mr. Arthur Malondo joined us. He was appointed as chair to the board, and he has continued to strengthen focus upon reporting governance and to exercise his oversight roles. During this year, we also appointed the new chief executive, Mr. T.P. Chocho. In addition to financial sustainability, as I've said, NetBank has been challenged to increase its focus on its developmental mandate. To this end, we will continue to work with them in making sure that this mandate is fulfilled. The focus now has to be on building a robust, efficient, and developmentally effective institution. And we are assured that the new chief executive is moving in this direction with our support. Chair, the chairman of the board will introduce the team that is with us here, but I thought I should actually just make these few remarks and introduce the team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. We have to go to another meeting, and obviously we're in need for that. So thanks for coming. Also, I suggest you fire your parliamentary liaison and officers for giving you the wrong time of the meeting. And we will follow up on that. We'll table it in Parliament, and then we can do 48 hours to act expeditiously. And those are my friends. I think it's a dereliction of duty to misinform you.
I think we need a full
And the EFF will oppose this, right, simply because the ANC supports it. Okay, having said all that, Mr. Moloto is very well known in this parliament, except for the toddler who are here since July last year. He is an MP of many years standing. He served in this committee, am I right? And he served in various other committees. He served in the pension fund and so on. And so he's very familiar with us. Therefore, members, you can be very robust with him because he is to sit where I'm sitting now and tackle other institutions and public entities. So now he's in the receiving end and he can take it because he gave. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to introduce our team. I'm on the other side. To my right is Mr. T.P. Nchoto, the CEO of the Land Bank, and next to him is Mr. Benny Faroy, the new CFO of the Land Bank. He has joined us recently. And on my far right is Ms. Loiso Ndlovu, the Executive Manager responsible for Strategy and Communication Policy. Behind me is Mr. Jerome Tembu, he's the Executive Manager for Legal Services. I'm going to hand over to Mr. Nchoto to proceed with the presentation assisted by Mr. Ben Faroy.
Yes, yes.
How long have you been appointed?
I was appointed by President in December, but I assumed duty on the 1st of February 2016.
So did you first appear before a parliamentary committee?
I used to appear before this committee and others when I was at the development bank. I was executive at the DBSA for about 11, 12 years.
Alright, welcome.
Thank you. Chairperson of committee, Honorable Minister of Finance and Honorable Members of committee, allow me to briefly take you through this presentation, which is essentially a summary of the key points that are contained in the annual report, which I believe was distributed and made available to members of committee. The agenda or the table of contents is just indicated there, the various items, and try to be as strict as possible. The third point, the Honorable Chairperson, as Mr. Mulder has done, but simply just to introduce ourselves as a leadership team of the bank, and just to confirm to this particular committee that since I joined the bank as well, we have been doing leadership enhancements with the appointment of the Chief Financial Officer, the appointment of a new Chief Risk Officer, and various members of the executive team. So as of now, we are a full ExCo team. A way of contact, Honorable Chairperson, just to mention that the strategic importance of agriculture as a sector in terms of its contribution to socio-economic development continues to be a guiding theme of the activities of the Land Bank. And in that regard, we continue to strive to enhance cooperation and synergies between ourselves as an organization, the Land Bank, as well as others, DFIs in particular, and the sector departments in particular, agriculture, both at the national level and in the provinces, as well as the Department of Land Reform. The Minister mentioned earlier there my appointment and the appointment of the Chairperson of the Board. So, contextually, again, what we are trying to say is that as we presented these results today, please let us appreciate the difficulties in the economy as well as the sector-specific effects like drought that have characterized our operations over the past 12 months. However, having said so, the resilience of the sector has come through, and the organization itself, the Land Bank, has managed to find its way with a relatively good performance during the year that we are reporting on. So the next slide that we are covering is the one that reflects on matters of governance, and just to confirm to this committee that the audit committee of the Land Bank is duly constituted, and it operates on an independent basis guided by a charter. In the second instance, the internal audit function of the Land Bank functions optimally, fully capacitated with appropriately qualified staff, and to that effect, during this year that we are reporting on, the audit committee of the Land Bank did pronounce itself and expressed its satisfaction with regards to the governance and the general control environment of the bank. And finally, the Auditor General, having audited the bank for a year, indeed issued us with an unqualified audit report for the year. And we are happy to report so. So, Chairperson, the next two slides, really, which I will not go into details with.
Can I say something? The Minister might leave.
Yes.
It may not be a question you feel able to answer now, but I don't know enough, but it seems to me that the Land Bank was brought into national treasury because of specific circumstances. And my sense is, apart from having heard you say and browsing through the report, from the media, that you've done very well. National Treasury has done extremely well in turning the Land Bank around. And you had a wonderful GU, was it Hadete or Krati? Takamira. Yeah, he's a very good guy. He mentioned there and really turned things around. Now, is it the aim to keep this under your portfolio, or is the aim to send it back to where it was, the rural development, or is that a matter still being discussed with the President and so on and so on? It might be useful because the question will come up when you're not here. And it's more a political question than a technical one. So perhaps before you leave, it's like, I'm putting all my questions here. But this is a question you might want to respond to before you leave, either now or maybe now, so you're free to.
Thank you, Chair. And, you have correctly indicated that it has brought to the National Treasury because of the framework. But some of the older members will know also that it once was in the Department of Finance in the past. And yes, the previous, that predates democracy. Yes, but then it's a financial institution, of course, that takes on agriculture. But I don't want to go into the history because it has to do with a certain minister who moved with it for some reason to agriculture. I don't want to mention names. But Chair, indeed, and as I said earlier, that there were three stages. First stage, the cleanup phase, completed. Second phase, stabilization phase, completed. the sustainability stage is the one that we're now currently working on. Turning around the financial institution that has actually that had reached a situation that it was in is not an easy task. So as things currently stand, we actually are on the debt list. Of course, it all depends because the president can do this by proclamation. There are no discussions at the moment in government about this. No, there are no discussions at all.
Sorry, you want to raise a question to the
minister? No, I think it's not problematic what they're doing. The land bank is presenting a report. They already have done very well and all those other things. Let them speak and then finish with me for 100,000. Don't spoon feed us your own
question.
Please. You must respect them. But we are a chairperson, at least respect the committee. Allow the land bank to finish this presentation and we'll make our own statement.
I have no apology. I'll do that again in another context. We are ministry.
This is a political one. Yes, you know, the whole conference is irritating, honestly speaking.
I'll do it again.
In the same context, I'll do it again. Hi. Chairperson. Can I have you? Huh? Can
I have you? Chairperson, thank you very much. I was on this particular slide on operational performance, and what I was saying was that I will not go through each and every one of these items one at a time. They are covered on pages 20 to page 27 in the annual report. Safe to say that in the majority of the cases, and overwhelming majority of the cases, the land bank managed to achieve its key performance areas for the period under review. And yes, indeed, as it normally happens with organizations, there were areas of shortcomings as indicated in these two slides. The next point that we would like to make, which is more a strategy and a policy statement, Chair, is just to say, in our financing activities, what we attempt to do is to, as much as possible, embrace practices relating to environmental and social sustainability. We conduct this through the due diligence work that we do as we appraise projects and as well as the bank-owned activities in terms of energy use and resource-intensive lightness and so on. So it's just a commitment that we are making and we report it as a normal course in the annual report. So with that, I'll ask my colleague, Benny Van Roy, to just take a couple of three or so slides on the financials.
Thank you, Cliffy. Thank you, Chairperson. Following on from what the Minister said about the various phases the land bank has been through, it's quite clear that if you review the quality of the balance sheet, that the land bank has achieved a level of scale and size in terms of the CSIs of the assets on the balance sheet. If one assesses the balance sheet of a bank, one would typically look at four specific areas. One would look at the loan book, the quality of the loan book, one would look at the cash situation, one would look at the capital and reserve situation, and one would look at the profile of the funding liabilities of the of a specific bank. Now, when one assesses the loan book, it's clear that the bank has grown substantially. Now has a performing loan book of in excess of 36 billion, grown by about just more than 10% from the 2014 to the 2015 financial year. The non-performing loans, which typically loans which would be classified as being in distress, have grown by about 16.7% to 1.4 billion. Just want to pause there and highlight the fact.
This presentation is referring to a report. We don't have the report, the annual report. I've been asking since I arrived here because I see the report. I don't have.
Annual reports are tabled by the committee to every member, whether you're in this committee or not. So it normally ends up on your desk. To the best of my knowledge, that's what would have happened with this report. It was formally tabled last week, and presumably it's not the committee that does it, to my knowledge, unless the rules change. It's the administration that does it. So because people say they didn't get a copy of the report.
I don't.
Well, I have an e-version of it, so we didn't get it. Yeah.
Chair, I don't think we need to belabor this point, but just for the future, I mean, the reports are, as you say, I mean, was tabled, I think, probably 2 weeks ago, but it was not furnished to members, and as far as I'm aware, the responsibility is with the committee to distribute those reports to members of the committee, so perhaps that's something we can look at in the future, and equally, the research document was only received at least by myself last night. Perhaps you could look at just rectifying the situation for the future.
All annual reports are tabled by Parliament, not by committees, to all members. So they normally distribute it to our regionals. So it might have not happened to all of us. So it's not the committees. I just want to clarify that it's not committees, it's Parliament. But yes, maybe there's a delay in terms of distribution of annual reports. So I suggest that for specific issues that we want to refer to, if they cannot be responded to now or we cannot have adequate attention to them, we can always come back to that.
Look, to the best of my knowledge, the committee secretary may supplement what Parliament does, but from 1994 to at least 2009, it was never the committee that did it. It was first tabled by the Parliament. Secondly, I think members don't attend all meetings. That's why they, and it's never happened before since the first term started. The subject annual report with tables of time. You will recall there's a deadline by which, in terms of the PFMA, reports have to be tabled. Now, once again, may I repeat, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to allow this question, actually. Those who don't attend meetings, we're not going to cover the ground. You will recall on the 14th of July was the deadline by which the Treasury in good faith said they would table the Twin Peaks legislation. You will recall at the end of June, I told you, and early August, this is the program. So given that the bill is stuck with state law advice, we had to then ad hoc. And I gave you the list of topics we're going to look at. And I told you, not going to attack dates to them, because the parliamentary term keeps changing. For example, next week is a provincial week. Any NCOP committees are meant to be out in the province. Up to today, we do not know, it's not, you know, where exactly this committee is supposed to go. We have sought an exemption because we've got public hearings next week, but we are told that no committee is going to be exempted. So at this stage, we're at the mercy of the administration. We have an excellent committee secretary, Alice and an assistant here in itself. We're not even a permanent secretary of this committee, but she does her job. And I think that there's nothing particularly we can do. We can take over the administration. This annual report was tabled ahead of time. And it's possible that because of that, the administration of Parliament has been unable to process it. So the land bank was given, I think, very short notice. Last week, you were told, is that right? And in fact, Bridget, who's overwhelmed, by the way, let me remind you once again, Bridget is not a committee secretary researcher. She's a supervisor, so she deals with 5 committees. And right now she's sitting in interviews to appoint a researcher for our committee. So Bridget was only notified on Wednesday when you confirmed by a senior. And she had a million things to do, and I think she did a splendid job. So I don't apologize on behalf of the committee in this regard. I think people are being very, very unfair to the people who work very, very hard. And so there's nothing for me to do. You can raise the issues you have, David, with the Secretary of Parliament, but I'll alert him. I'm not going to write to him, I don't have the time. You can raise it with your chief whip to raise it. We can do nothing. I don't think Estelle or Ellen are guilty of anything. You did excellent work. What is the chair supposed to do? Right now, I still don't know whether we're excited for next week. You'll only get to know on Thursday or Friday. But we are targeted public hearings for next week. So I regret what happened, but the fault lies with none of us in this committee, really. We take responsibility where we are guilty. So up to the first week of next quarter, our program is dictated by the vagaries of the... I'm told that Parliament won't be sitting. Is that correct, David? No. Is that right? You would know, Floyd. Parliament's not sitting in plenary, I'm told, yesterday, after this week. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, that's going to be a problem, because getting members here to sit at public hearings and so on, when Parliament's not sitting in plenary, it's not really easy. So in short, there's nothing else to do. I don't do it as a program of Parliament. Right, we're not going to discuss these things again. Can we go ahead? Once we, you waiting for you to come in. Just finally, what Phil has kindly done is to see that we can get copies before the meeting. I've been telling his proposal that things should be accepted. That if, once you've read the report, as if people do read the report from beginning to end, let's not delude ourselves. How many of us in which parliament in the world reads it from page one to the last page? You do, okay? Guinness Book of Records. You haven't got a life, okay? So every report appears. Well, I've never heard of that. Tandy is absolutely correct. What we will do, we will have another sitting. You can request it on this report. You don't have to bring your whole army here. One of you can come. I think the chair of the board, if needy. They will put questions to me. I'll put them in on writing and send it to you. But if they want to pursue a further investigation of the issue, then you'll have to appear. Okay. Oh, thanks, Sandy, for that proposal. Right. Good. Let's head over to Willa. Yeah.
Thank you, Jay. So I can continue with the balance sheet. I've mentioned the size of the loan book and the size of the performing loan book, which is a key strength of the balance sheet of the land bank. The non-performing loans, so I mentioned the loans that are classified as problematic or in distress, have increased from 1.1 to 1.4 billion, mainly as a result of a small concentration of two corporate customers that went into distress and which were reclassified from performing to non-performing loans. The non-performing loan ratio, which is a mathematical calculation of the non-performing loans as a percentage of loan advances, has consequently also increased from 3.2% to 3.7% of the as a percentage of the total loan book. The second area of strength of the balance sheet of the land bank is the capital adequacy and position. The land bank's capital consists of basically three sources, one being direct capital injections being made into the land bank, that's here on the balance sheet of the land bank. And second source would be retained earnings that the bank has generated over time. The aggregate of the capital injections and retained earnings amount to 6.7 billion, which has increased by 13% from the previous financial year. And then the last source of capital of the land bank is guarantees that are provided by the National Treasury to the bank. And these guarantees are primarily being used to raise longer-term funding for the land bank, and our guarantees are placed as collateral to funders that require some level of security in the loans that are run to the land bank. The third area of credit strength of the bank is the cash position. And you can see the net cash position of the group has increased from 1.5 billion to 1.6 billion. And the liquidity ratio, which is a mathematical formula of total cash balances of the bank as a percentage of all liabilities that mature in a six-month period, has remained stable at 8.2%. The last area is on the balance sheet is the funding or liabilities of the land bank, and that's one area of concern. The land bank is very much short-term funded, with approximately 70% of liabilities maturing within the next 12 months. It's not to pause then, just reminding that the land bank primarily is being funded in the capital market by the PIC and with bilateral agreements that the bank has entered into with a variety of funders, including all the main banks in South Africa. So its liabilities are very well distributed to a variety of funders, but given the funding environment in the country, specifically relating to banks in general, where the biggest micro lender in the country had its own unique problems during the second half of the 2014 calendar year, funders were reluctant to invest long-term funding into the banking industry in the country, and the land bank consequently found it difficult to raise longer-term funding. And in addition to that, the land bank also classified as a state-owned entity. Some of the land banks said the state-owned entities had their own unique problems, governance problems and other issues during the course of the financial year, also resulting in a reduction in the appetite for funders in relating state-owned entities. It was a bit of a perfect storm that the land bank experienced during the last financial year from a liability position, but the bank was still more than capable of funding all its appetite during the under review. From an income statement performance point of view, also four areas that I wish to highlight. The first being the net interest income, which is a combination of interest that the bank receives on all its loans that it has as granted to its customers, and the interest that the bank pays on all the funding facilities that it has raised. The net interest income has increased to about 1.06 billion, an increase of almost 14% during the year under review. The next important line is the net impairment charges. That's the provision for bad debt that the bank rises in terms of all sorts of accounting standards. The net impairment charge or net provision has increased by 156 million. This number is again a net number. A combination of gross impairments or provision for bad debt rise of in excess of 360 million and provision released during the current year on both insurance claims that were either settled during the current financial year or that may have prescribed. Next line, which is important, is a non-interest expense line, in this instance on the land bank's income statement. This is a combination of non-interest revenue that the bank generates on transaction fees and other fees that it charges when loans are granted, and then also expenses paid to some of our main agricultural partners with whom the bank has entered into service level agreements where these partners manage the loan book on behalf of the land bank. The land bank pays a transaction fee or a service level fee to these partners. This expense line has increased quite significantly in the end of the year. And as last year, there is a substantial increase in these ELA books that the bank has purchased during the year, resulting in a substantial increase in this line. But I need to point out that the interest income resulting from these selective agreements are included in the net interest income line. So therefore, this specific business is still very much profitable and contributes to the financial strength of the land bank. The last one of the income statement I want to highlight is the operating expense line. Operating expenses have reduced by 3% to 510 million during the year under review, mainly as a result of savings in staff and staff-related costs. If I can continue to a few graphs that we want to highlight to this committee, Honourable Chairman. The first graph shows the cash equivalent balance of the land bank has changed over the last 5 years. You can see the cash and cash equivalent in the bank has increased to almost 1.4 billion and the liquidity ratio, as I mentioned earlier, of 8.2%, which is in excess of the target of 7.5% that the bank has committed to. Equity in reserve, as I mentioned earlier, has increased to 6.7 billion as a result of additional retained earnings that the bank has generated during the year, as well as a portion of an old guarantee of 500 million that was capitalized in the year under review. Therefore, a strong capital adequacy position of the land bank. The last slide details a 5-year trend in the capital adequacy ratio of the bank. This shows the fact that the capital adequacy position of the bank has been strengthened in the current year under review with a 4 billion guarantee that was received from government, and as I mentioned earlier, this guarantee would be utilized to raise longer-term funding and reduce the funding and liquidity risk on the balance sheet of the land bank. Chairman, I see the financial results. I'll hand back to my CEO to finish the rest of the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. This particular slide is the result of an econometric modeling exercise that we do on our lending activities in order to reflect the potential social and economic impact of our lending activities in the organization. And there's quite a lot of detail covered in the annual report around this particular slide. The next slide is the one that really we have been working through over the past couple of months as the new executive team at the Land Bank to find the repositioning of the strategy of the organization to try and give greater effect to development emphasis. The five pillars, as we call them, talking about sector growth financing, you know, it's a work stream that is more dedicated towards emphasis on emerging commercial farmer development, you know, a concerted effort around new farmer development, expansion projects and acquisitions in order to enable the growth of the sector, as we call it, increasing the size of the pie of the sector. The second one being a supply chain emphasis, in other words, placing more emphasis in the agro-processing environment. This has not been an area of emphasis for the land bank. Very few investments or financing activities have been undertaken in that area. In terms of sector productivity, we believe that as prescribed in the Land Bank Act, the organization continues to support the productivity of the existing commercial farming sector in order to improve yields and to underpin food security. And innovation, Chairperson, is one issue that literature suggests these days that will play a critical role in terms of increasing agricultural sector productivity going forward. And we have chosen it as an area in which the land bank will play a role in encouraging investment in innovation technology for promoting sexual productivity. The last two slides, Chairperson, all we are saying in this particular one around cooperation and coordination is that we realize the importance of aligning strategies of the land bank together with, in particular, sector departments such as agriculture as well as land reform, in terms of bringing together our priority areas of focus and seeking to find complementarities. I must say, having been at the land bank over the past couple of months, this is an area of improvement. This is an area where I'm working as hard as I can with my counterpart DGs in those departments to try and align and find synergy in the work that we do, because it is my observation that up to now, the organization, the land bank, could have done better in terms of increasing its synergy. Lastly, Chairperson, I will ask Mr. Molato just to give us a conclusion on a couple of strategic points going forward, and that will conclude our presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think it would be remiss if we do not present to before this committee the opportunities and challenges that we see that provide. We believe that there's still scope to increase agricultural exports into the rest of our neighboring countries and Sub-Saharan. That rural, inclusive rural economy as required by the National Development Plan would only be possible through partnership and ensuring that the viable land access dispensation. We still believe that agriculture can still play a critical role in making a significant contribution to our GDP, and that will only be possible if we improve the sector productivity and the yield of the established commercial farming sector. From our own experience at the land bank, we realize that it's not possible to develop small holders from the head office. So it's important that we also build partnership with regionally based structures that have got the expertise to service small border farmers. The other critical matter, Chairperson, that needs special attention would be the matter of investment in agriculture. The National Development Plan talks about bringing significant amount of land under irrigation, and that would only be possible if we join hands with other GFIs that would be able to provide funding for infrastructure. And lastly, Chairperson, from where we see them as debt providers, we believe that there should be ongoing policy clarification around these matters of land rights and water rights, because access to land is critical, and we know that South Africa is constrained in terms of water provision, and these are areas that need to be looked into. Thank you, Chairperson, for the presentation. We'll take questions.
Thank you very much. Members, come in. David? Thank you, Chair. The Minister mentioned that the Land Bank had gone through three phases. The first phase was the cleanup phase, which was completed. But if you look at the Auditor General's report, it appears, in fact, that it is not yet completed, given the fact that the Auditor General notes that there is an investigation which is still in progress in respect of the land for development finance use. I wonder if the chairperson could brief us on exactly what progress has been made with that investigation, when we expect it to be finalized, and how indeed the chairperson can deal with that when it is finalized. And then further, in respect of discrepancies which were identified for the disbursement of the loans, a criminal case has apparently been opened. What progress has been made thus far? I mean, I know this is a matter that is topic by the South African Police Service, but to the best of your knowledge, what progress has been made with that investigation? Have any charges been preferred in the rest of the case?
Sorry, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the Land Bank for their presentation. I did speak briefly to Bernie before we started, but could we have some detail about the actual impairment for you? The figures are here, but I'm keen. There were a couple, two corporate ones. Who were they, and where do we go from here? Are they complete write-offs, or is there some chance of recovery? The impact of the collapse of African Bank on Lambeck, it's still showing in the report. I can't remember what page. I also didn't get the report except from you. Thank you very much. So what is the impact of that collapse? And then, Mr. Chairman, just on the impairment side, is the loan to Patrick Kohler, as it in North Coast, is that now history? Was that $800 million written off, or what has happened with that one? That's impairment. The LRAD branch performance, I think you administer it for the department. It is, my personal experience with this is not a happy one. I think it's objective to grade, but it doesn't seem to be performing. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Chairman, I think that there's probably 99.9% agreement in South Africa that the land issue needs to be dealt with. Now, what is the Land Bank doing in terms of making funding available to commercial farmers who currently are really successful? I have four such neighbours who run top class beef herds, but they battle to find any land to run a lease from municipalities, a lease from white landowners. And I tried in the past to get hold of the Vryheid office trying to facilitate land purchases. I managed to get 7,000 hectares in the district which was available to be purchased. But really, I found it like pulling teeth trying to get assistance on it. To me, it's key that we deal with this land issue, and I think that's a general consensus on that. Just a small one, I was curious to see why the audit, external audit fees nearly doubled in the current year compared with last year. And then the $500 million guarantee that was capitalized, how does that work? Just the technical, I'm trying to get my own mind how a guarantee can be capitalized. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. Notwithstanding the progress that has been made, and I think we should congratulate the Land Bank team for having achieved so much milestones. One just wanted to check, I get a little concerned when I see the areas that matter most under your service delivery area. You have the AFC network optimization not achieved, and you have the enhanced product offering partially achieved, and if you could just assist me understand what do you mean by partially, and also if you could share with us what has made that particular key performance area not to be achieved. The other thing that I also need to listen to, that you will have to excuse my ignorance. I wanted to check, how does this thing of the service level agreements work? Because you have an outside body that is managing this service level agreement. What is involved in that? Is it a legal service or what? And finally, Chair, if they could kindly assist us by giving us maybe in percentage-wise the demographics of their clientele, and I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem. And I'm asking this because it's actually quite concerning in South Africa that, we are even importing the potatoes that we are getting from the UK or wherever, and quite a lot of land that used to be agricultural land is no longer farmed, and in terms of food security, some of us would be very concerned about that. And maybe they make this comment on that in terms of what is the bank doing in terms of getting into that kind of phase and making sure and probably advising us on what are some of the hurdles that they are coming across. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. First, let me welcome the Chairperson, Simon Lotto, as the Chairperson of the Board. It's exciting to have him on the other side, because then he will implement what we used to say as hands. Yeah, you know, so it's just important. And one of the interesting things I think he'll pay more attention to is when we speak about foreign audit and not looking at financial audit and wanting to have an qualified report on the basis that you spent properly. It will be more of, even if you get a qualification, as long as it was based on development, it will be a milestone for some of us who believe in the developmental agenda. Chairman, start with the question. One of the questions has been posed by my course where on development there's been a partial achievement. Because the gist of the performance of the land bank is on making sure that the transformational agenda of making sure that the finances are also allocated to those who did not have access to before are distributed to. So, It will be interesting to get that part where the land bank explains itself whether in terms of funding it doesn't accept or implement the models of your normal commercial bank. Right? Because there's been an outcry that the IDC is a very difficult institution to get loans from because it charges interest almost at the same price as a commercial bank. So I'm pinning my hope that now that it's Honorable Moloto, it will be a different approach altogether. So there will be easier access, not negligent access, but easier access to finance. So my other question is, I want to know how often have you written back debt? And I'm posing this question not as an administrative transaction where it's a bad debt. Have you analyzed the pattern of those bad debts? And specifically, who are the targets? Is it smallholder farmers? Is it farmers who were not in the sector before, who are experiencing different challenges, who had no choice but to write off some of their debts because of challenges? I'm asking this question because at one point I read an article in paper about the performance of farmers who were in the Northwest. Who said it was specific to farmers who were saying they experienced drought and they did not realize any profits. They are made to drive out, their cattle were dying. So probably it might have led to them not realizing profit and owe it to the land bank in a way. So if there is such circumstances as a development bank, it would be okay to write them off so that we assess which debt. I remember in a previous life I had to negotiate that the DTI give more funding to the company that opened a hotel and did not realize some profit based on the economic meltdown, 2008 experience. So we might want to know how far it has affected the land bank. But so far the record is very progressive. It shows that actually the performance has been up and there's good results. But that doesn't mean when challenges are faced or we want to recapitalize the loans they provide, especially to smallholder farmers. So basically that's my take, I think is it.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm more interested in the non-financial performance of the land bank. That is why I was worried when you're proclaiming the success before we get a detailed report. Allow me to speak. You speak later on. You're a Chairperson. We want to be given a report on the extent at which the bank has facilitated access ownership of land by currently disadvantaged individuals. That is a mandate, that how many people have had access to land because of your interventions, and who are those people, where are they, and how many emerging farmers have you assisted, and to what extent have you promoted agricultural entrepreneurship, how many jobs have you created through your interventions? That is what you must be speaking about, and all that. And how have we contributed to food security? Because we import staple food to South Africa, maize, we import chicken, import meat, we import almost everything. And you are supposed to be playing a meaningful role in promoting agricultural productivity. What is the right doing about it? And then you can come to the finances in terms of but also then the last threat to ask, what are the internal and external constraints? The fact that South Africa does not subsidize its agriculture and must compete with other countries that subsidize the agricultural sector. What is the impact on South Africa's agriculture? That is what we must be talking about, because we are called the Finance Committee, but we are a political finance committee that must take political decisions about some of the issues. Say, what should be the trajectory around the protection of agriculture in the face of food insecurity and the fact that there are net food impact? It's one of the things that we must be discussing, and what kind of assistance Edland Bank would need if you were to play any role in dealing with most of those issues. And I'm also interested to know the method that you use to assist historically disadvantaged individuals. Do you demand securities to give them loans and whatever happens? If agricultural entrepreneurs want to produce the chicken, they want to build an abattoir for chicken or for beef, and do you require securities for that, and to what extent can you help people if you require securities for agricultural assistance? These are the concrete things which I think we'll be looking into. I appreciate that the balance sheet might be looking beautiful, but let us look into what has been done. Sure.
I would like the bank to actually, before they respond to the question of Mazamba by day about him still for Kayla, who is owing the bank over $800 million, I wanted you to probably show it us whether you are allowed to discuss individual clients and your own your relationship with clients, because I thought that was is something that if we are not careful might lead us into some very difficult position. But notwithstanding, you may just talk about the general performance of the different group or whatever. I just wanted to check that before you respond.
Yeah, that goes interestingly into the first possibility, but I'm not sure, is it mentioned in the annual report about Mr. Sakela?
No.
It's one certificate, right? And as I know it, what people do is they put a picture and they don't put a person. They're going to go by what the rules of parliament say, right? But I think that the general point, it could be Mr. Sakela, it could be somebody else. I think the general point being made is about recovery of loans. That I think should be responsible. Else, you want to say something?
Yeah, it is in the public domain. It has been for a couple of years now, so it's not confidential. So anyway, they must make their mind up.
All right, let me take you to Bridges Report. Sorry, you want to say something? To you. Let me go to Bridget's report, right? Bridget's our excellent researcher. And let me give you a political constraint she delivered this report. She raises questions, right? Not necessarily questions that the committee as a whole agree with, but I personally. But they are important. She did the work, and we're going to address the concerns. I'll make some reports to 10.
Trinidad and Rustenburg, right, they have this challenge around electricity, right? And usage. And he says, what were the challenges that prevented these municipalities from reporting? And have these challenges been resolved? And what other areas of reporting service delivery impacted are due to challenges in the municipality? So let's allow Swillenden and Rustenburg drawing from your report. The next set of questions she raises, page 3, the land bank should provide reasons for not keeping targets. This is obvious, right? Where these are not indicated in the annual report. Right? And then on page 4, she points out the bank net profit declined from 394.3 million to 292.4 million, right? Due to challenging economic conditions and challenges with the financial sector, right? This is a low capital flows and the collapse of the AU. And she wants you to comment on that. The land bank insurance operations contributed 71.9 million to it, a decrease from 133.7 million in the previous year in net profit. The third point here is group investment income declined from 181.9 to 151.8 million. That's a decrease, you know, of 16 cents. Total impairments increased by 38.4%. Overlapping with the question raised by a member. And the final thing she raises, interest income declined by 23.8% or 13.4 million due to lower realized gains. So the reports are on your table, you'll see, right? I've invested, what we normally do is we try to get into the entity before, but I think this was only delivered late yesterday. And Cindy's job is to send it to you so that you're aware of the issues that the committee research raises. On page 5, the overall control environment of the bank is rated, requires improvement. The land bank should explain what the challenges are, how these affect the effectiveness and financial efficiency of the institution. And then finally, she notes the annual report does not provide a breakdown of staff, but it's covered to some extent by employment and salary level. This is a possible check how many black women, for example, are seen at the middle management level. So those are the concerns the research raises. And then I shall ask quickly, now, as I understand it, right, my present change of all in the last hour, I still think you've done a very good job from where you were over 2009 and where you are now. I think that, you know, I'm familiar with where the bank was, right, because of the role of the, and I think that in your case, perhaps more than others, getting your finances right is crucially linked to the other non-financial performance indicators. I also think you're in an invidious position because you deliver the money, so to speak, but the broad policies and so on are not even dealt within the department that you're answering to, or the committee to which you answer to in Parliament. They are done by agriculture and rural development and other, even to an industry to some extent. So I think when we evaluate your performance, what we say to you that you are, strictly speaking, dependent, if you like, on the policy decisions of other ministers and other portfolios, not a portfolio committee. And the question you talk about is aligned strategies. Obviously, we have to do that. But what does it actually mean? Obviously, the politicians at the top, the ministers concerned, have to play their role. But as board chairs and CEOs, do you actually constantly draw to the attention of the two main departments, agriculture and rural development, for concerns that you can shove the money, but you can only do so if the policies are sound? And do you try to influence the policies, or is the language strategy more on operational issues? Do you actually raise policy issues and so on? Because if you don't, and the minister won't be able to do this all the time, then your work gets hampered. So in short, what exactly do you seek to do when you say you're aligning strategies? Now, obviously, the failure of our land reform programs, or the inadequacies of 1834, which the government itself, not least the minister concerned, has openly admitted to the public domain, is something that you can't be held responsible for. But linked to my first question, now, obviously, we know the common reasons why there has been failure, but what, in addition to the general reasons, you know, from your perspective, could be done to make things work, to ensure that emerging farmers do become stronger and manage things? Thirdly, can you say a bit more about the drought? How are you dealing with this thing? There are various questions asked around that, including when people lose out, when emerging farmers, due to natural factors beyond their control, what do you do? I mean, you're not a normal commercial bank. So do you help them to manage the loan better, or do you write off certain parts of the loan, and what exactly do you do? Obviously, to improve productivity. On land and water rights, what exactly are the issues you're concerned with, and the land bank particularly? On environment, what are the issues that you are able to do, bearing in mind that you're a financial institution essentially, on jobs I think other people have covered it? There are some other issues that questions are pretty banal, given the quality and range of questions already asked by other members, but if there's time, I'll come back to the same time.
I just forgot one question which I wanted to be responded. On the increase of agri exports in sub-Saharan Africa, is there an impediment so that if there is any challenges, we can make a recommendation to the Department of Trade and see if it's a trade-related issue because they need more with each other. Okay.
Sure, thank you very much. I just wanted to observe on the question that was asked about the confidentiality of information relating to clients, and that to state to the committee that yes, indeed, the contractual agreements that we enter into with our clients do provide and do place prohibitions on the land bank from disclosing information specific to individuals. But yes, at this particular forum where we are providing accountability, we are more than happy to talk on issues of principle and how we're handling issues and things like that. Unless, of course, an issue is already a known issue which is in the public space. So I just thought I would clarify that question. My colleague, Jerome Tembu, who is the head of legal services, has background to it, and perhaps he can just give me a comment.
And
the
general thing that kind of interests in, how do you manage cases like this? I don't know if you're going to discuss this kind of certificate, but you're a lawyer, and help us.
Chair, I think we can talk about it because Bidenta has since been finalized. In actual fact, Dr. Sokela case was settled in 2009, and we recovered our exposure that the bank had incurred directly with him. Yeah, so we recovered about 800 million that.
You should acknowledge, TA, I mean, Alf, that something got done.
No, I think
there's power question. Yeah, Alf, I mean, not a South African.
You're only giving me an opportunity to talk. I'm being echoed by my colleagues.
We don't do it. You have to say, good. They won't fire you from the DA if you're for what?
Well done to the land bank for recovering 800 million.
Now, what about the other billions you haven't recovered? No, but in the general policy, let's forget Mr. Sokera, Dr. Sokera. Let's deal with the issue. How do you manage these things? And what percentage of recovery?
And
what?
Thank you.
The percentage of recovery, it depends on the size of the non-performing loans per financial year, because what we normally do is that we set ourselves a target against the overall non-performing loans in that particular financial year. As I said earlier on, Dr. Sokela's matter is a very old matter, which in our view is an issue at all, because it was closed in financial year 2009 and 2010. So I can't comment much on other than what I've just said in relation to Dr. Sokela matter. Yes. The link to that chair, the investigation, there was a question around the investigation.
So what I was saying is that in order to bring some kind of structure to the response, I will take the questions as I was noting them as we go along and direct them to my colleagues and myself. Where. Correct. And the first one being the questions I think that came from Honorable Mayor. The first one, and yes, Jerome, this is for you, i.e. the cleanup of the LDFU portfolio, the progress there, and I think the Honourable Member's observation that perhaps the issues have not been fully completed.
The Thank you, Chair. The investigations around the LDFU portfolio was also finalized in 2010, and the report was presented to the HOPS for necessary action to be taken. So in our view at the Land Bank, the matter now is in the hands of the HOPS for action to be taken against the individuals who were linked with the wrongdoings in relation to the portfolio itself. So according to the Land Bank, the matter, in our view, we've done our part. Now the matter is in the hands of the police. There was also a question in relation to a criminal case that has been opened in relation to one of our clients who defrauded the bank. Yes, it is correct that a criminal case has been opened, and the police are currently investigating the matter.
Thank you, Sheriff. And then,
once you hand it over to the police, you don't pursue where it is in the process.
The matter is very recent. We opened the case about 2 months ago. I think about 2 to 3 months ago. It's still that the police are still investigating, you know, the case.
The reason I say this is in another portfolio. The SIU investigates. You have about 54 cases of staff members who have committed allegedly criminal cases. And 4.5 years later, despite the SIU report, no progress. Then you ask the entity, what have you done about this thing? Get on just formally, going to a police station and say, this is the allegation. It's like a nominal thing you do, and you don't care. You sometimes even hope that it does actually proceed. So, you know, I just think, I don't know what the rules are. Is there a lawyer here? But I think we should insist that all entities that appear before us, they should pursue the cases that they have presented to police stations against staff members and others who are accused of crime. You don't just hand it over to the police station and leave it, because the police are overwhelmed with the number of cases. And I know that even with an SIU investigation done in 2009, concluded in 2011, in 2014, last year, around April, not a single person, if I remember correctly, out of the 34 cases of misdemeanor, to put it mildly, or alleged misdemeanor, or whatever the word, I can't find the right word, crime, alleged crime. Nobody's, so it's like a formality. So I think this committee should actually, like, you know, put this into our report, not about you, but about entities generally, and then when they appear before us, ask, what have you done since the last time? So let's suggest to you, unless it's somebody who says to me what we are saying is wrong, that we would like you to respond within 3 months on what you have done to find out whether the people who are being pursued by the police, what is the outcome of it. I know you can't do the role of the police, but you can, presumably, as a citizen even, go to the police station every 3 months or call them and say, what's happening about this case? But having said that, that's on the same issue. All right, so fine, this is the committee and you. No, it was impunity. You just do what you want. Look, Estelle, put it in the report, the draft. Anyway, if anybody here for PBO, I ask for help. You are helping with the report, eh? Because Jumaswani can't come, he's somewhere else, and Sean is somewhere else. Oh, there's a tax conference, I think. Eh? Yeah, there's a tax conference. Yeah. All right. Jumaswani is being introduced. Good.
May I just clarify something, Kate? The matter that I was talking about, the matter that has since been referred to the police, yes, we are following up. We are actually working together with the police in terms of making sure that, because the fraud was perpetrated at the Land Bank, and for the police to successfully prosecute those individuals, we have to work with them and make sure that we provide them with all the necessary documentation in order to ensure the successful prosecution of the case. They are very well hands-on, and we are quite certain specifically on this one that we will secure the conviction based on the information at our disposal. So we are working with the police. There are, of course, quite a number of cases in the Land Bank where we actually secure convictions, because we make sure that we work with the police at all times to make sure that we assist the state in successfully prosecuting the individuals involved in fraud and corruption.
Do you want to say something about this matter?
Chair, can I suggest just as a follow-up? In respect to the first matter, I think it would be appropriate that this committee be furnished with the report, which has been passed over to the Hawk for further investigation. I mean, this committee should scrutinize this report. And then in respect to the second matter, I'm delighted to hear that Land Bank are working hard and cooperating with the SAPs. I support your view that perhaps in 3 or 6 months we should receive a progress report on, in respect of this matter. But in my question specifically in respect of this matter is, what is the name of the client which was involved in this alleged fraud?
I don't know. You see, a person in law is either innocent until proven guilty. Although the truth is that many times I know, you know, a person is guilty. And he's literally stolen from me. You know, while I'm there, he steals from me. And so I don't need to go to court to be guilty. What can I do? I'm not a justice. I'm not. I didn't take the constitution. Right. So I don't know whether you have to, you know, who's your lawyer, Jerome? Yeah, well, here you are, but you see, we can't be guided by you, because all of us must have a lawyer. So we don't have a lawyer yet, and I can only go, I get justice, by the way, my sins for 2.5 years. Now, people call me, no, one day, Tali, listen to this, one day I'm the SACP Central Committee, Tali. So they promote, they...
So the
question is
to me. Hi,
Common
Justice. You see,
he's
calling you. David is
recording
you.
Who, David?
There's only one David here.
Oh, David. Yeah, he's got nothing better to do. And then he listens to the whole night. He doesn't have a family. He doesn't read novels. He doesn't go to the movies. He doesn't go jogging. All his life he spent reading and writing. No one reads what he said apart from his small constituency, right? So really, leave him alone. He's a nerd, right? Right. So now, you're getting upset for your sake, right?
Cheers, Bruce. It's been out of the dirt next to you. You might end up working for
him. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. So on a more serious note,
thank you, Chair. The report in relation to the LDF investigation cannot be made available to this committee simply because it's a confidential document, and any document that will form part of the binding of document to be used in a criminal prosecution like this, like in this instance, cannot be shared with this committee, unfortunately.
There's a very big question. I mean, my common sense on that. I worked law and order for 20 years, so I feel I'm qualified, right? What I want to say is, that is part of the case against the accused, right? And normally the prosecution is careful about releasing it to the public. It might preempt decisions about whether the person is guilty or not. So I really think, unless you can produce some, he's not a lawyer, right? You're not a lawyer, no. So what did you know? Right.
Yeah. The second part of my question was to name a client.
Let me name the client, so long as it ends there, Chair.
Yeah.
The name of the client is Belende Foods.
What are you going to do about that, David? As long as you act legally, okay?
No, I sometimes have a problem when we approach matters in this manner, especially matters that are still under investigation, you see? Because we are politicians and we know when we want that information, what we want to do with it. No, David, I'm your colleague and I've been observing how you do things. It's not in the best interest of what we want to achieve by having a thorough investigation. Because once we impede all individuals' rights and they take us back, I don't know how we react to that. Because what members say in Parliament is protected by the Constitution. What David might say in relation to that name in the House will be protected. And the latter will not be there to respond. So that's why I take such matters as a pinch of salt when matters have not arrived at a final point. It was going to be good to name the person after the investigation and say, here's the report. Because you recorded the report anyway. It's going to come. But to do that, and I'm requesting us to be reasonable, you know.
The thing is, I don't have any choice. I mean, if you chair a committee, you have to abide by the rules of Parliament, right?
and I can't stop somebody from asking a legitimate question. And I think Frank Jenkins is also owned up. We can't have a lawyer at every meeting. One just takes it that this person has already appeared in court, and therefore his name is in the public domain, right?
The case has been opened with the police chair. The individual, it's a company by the way, not an individual.
Right.
The case against the company,
right,
and the company directors. And even though they've been, and the case has been opened, but they are yet to appear before courts.
Also, it's not in the public domain. In other words, proceeding, I thought somebody appeared, then it's in the public domain. Then all you have to do is Google it and find it. So I didn't realize that this thing had not. So in other words, they're bound by the same rules and laws and conventions that bind parliamentarians and citizens. It doesn't matter. I don't know if you can do anything about it, because my understanding is until it appears in court, it's not something you can do anything about outside of this committee. Is that correct, John?
There is very easy charge.
I don't know what the value is of it. But anyway, let's move on to the next issue.
I think about five questions that came, I think it's Honorable Lee, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. The one question, I handle one question and I ask Ben to handle to a couple of financial questions. The one question about land bank and what the land bank is doing to fund land purchases. Point number one, to say that it is within the mandate of the land bank to provide land mortgage finance. So that we do. Point number two, since my arrival at the land bank over the past couple of months, I have realized that the efficiencies of our branch offices in terms of responding to some of these issues, to be honest, Chairperson, is not really what it is supposed to be. I believe in terms of our portfolio of mortgage finance to farmers, we can do much, much better than we have done up to now. So, if there are still clients or citizens out there who perhaps require our assistance with regards to land purchases, I'm more than happy for us to have a look at that. We should, subject to our due processes regarding due diligence and assessment also, be able to assist with that. But I must say that the kind of leadership enhancements that we've been doing at the bank over the past 5 months or so is aimed exactly among our assets. We have to make operational improvements, and I believe it's that with leadership. So with that, Chair, if I could ask Ben to handle the new member, the actual impairment, the impairment of Abel, the audit fees, why they doubled, and the capitalization of the 500 million.
In terms of impairments and non-performing loans, it's all part of the end-to-end credit life cycle process. Once a customer experiences or starts to default on payments, the bank starts taking specific action in terms of the definition. At a specific point in time, a customer has been classified as a non-performing loan, which is driven by matters such as how many payments have been missed, if it's a requirement, paid monthly installment, or paid an annual installment in some instances, and that would be classified as a non-performing loan. On the corporate side of the business, it's more discretion is allowed in terms of classifying customers as a non-performing loan. It usually depends on what the financial distress is, such as something might be industry related. The bank obviously has in its loan agreement specific covenants or agreements that is agreed between the bank and the customer, and if those covenants are agreed, the customer can also be classified as a non-performing loan. There's an entire process that's driven by rules. In terms of the Basel II regulations, the Basel III regulations, a client is classified as a non-performing loan if the client has missed two or more installments. The bank has more customized its requirements. This is rule-driven, and that's not the decision. In terms of the customer that has been reclassified as non-performing loans, it's not within the bank's interest to disclose that. The bank's not common for banks to disclose the specific customer. Some of it I know is in the public domain, on specific customer, but it's uncommon for the bank to disclose the name, or uncommon for the bank to disclose the specific amount of the exposure of a client. That's highly unusual. As you said, the bank has provided sufficient provisions for these loans in the income statement based on the rules of the specific accounting standards. And also the bank is well capitalized. But even in the event of these customers being written off or
itself paying completely back, the bank will still have sufficient capital resources available to act as a buffer for any of these losses without requirement for additional capital to be injected into the business. In terms of specific impairment numbers, the bank has raised additional impairment during the year of $366 million on a gross basis, additional provisions for bad debts, primarily on these two customers that have gone into the streets. But sufficient provisions have been raised in the current financial year. This, on a principal basis, also want to emphasize the fact that it's not in the land bank's interest to start taking legal action to repossess and to sell in execution. The land bank would want to find constructive solutions for people problematic accounts, trying to resuscitate the accounts, and try to find a way to turn the business operations into a sustainable business that can contribute to the general agricultural industry. So you'll find that the amount of bad debt that have been written off in the financial statements are very low, and also low in comparison to like commercial banks with take. So hopefully that addresses the issues on impairments and non-performing loans. And the issue relating to African Bank, they have to emphasize there is a major difference between the balance sheet structure and the risk profile of African Bank and that of Rand Bank. African Bank is a micro lender. African Bank has granted unsecured loans, primarily being funded through the capital markets and on commercial terms. The land bank is primarily a secured lender, either secured mortgage loans on the retail side or in corporate lending side. The land bank also tax collateral in whatever form in entering into the various agreements. From a structural point of view, major differences. Unfortunately, from a view of funders, what funders would take in granting funds to financial institutions, there is a level of market composure that will take place. So fund managers will have an appetite level with our prepared to invest in financial services business in general in this country. If there is a concern about a financial services business or a bank in this instance, the appetite to reduce, i.e. less of the asset management funds, would be made available to fund financial services and financial services business and banks in general. This has resulted in the year under review that appetite has reduced, so fund managers indicated to the land bank they are unwilling to continue to fund the business given the concerns about financial services industry of Africa. In the event that the fund managers were prepared to fund the land bank, the funding was provided over a short term and at an increased cost. That was noticeable in the increase in the average funding cost for land bank that was included in the pie chart, and also the fact that, as I say, that the average term of liabilities was also under pressure, and it resulted in the bank being primarily short-term funded. So other than that, availability and cost of funding, other impacts from the collapse of the demand of African Bank. With regards to the increase in external audit fees, the members should note that in the specific notes to the financial statements, internal and external audit fees are not grouped together, but are in two consecutive lines. If one adds the two lines, one would see that there is a very small increase in the total audit fee. In the previous financial year, the external auditors relied more on the work of internal audit, and therefore had to perform less audits in assessing the accuracy and appropriateness of the financial statements. In the current financial year, there was a substantial reduction in internal audit fees, with the external auditors relying more on their own processes and less on internal audits. But there's a overlapping between internal and external audits. The external auditors would indicate the level of reliance that they would place on the work of internal audit to ensure that the costs are appropriately managed. The final question was that of the capitalization of guarantee of the guarantee received from government. Simplistically, I can explain that the government would provide a guarantee, it's more or less a paper confirmation that if the land bank pledges it as collateral to funders, and the land bank has financial distress or is unable to repay the loans, the government would take the place of the land bank and that's how the guarantee would be utilized. But the paper transaction is on a cash flow issue. If the government decides to capitalize the guarantee, it is physically inject an amount of cash into the land bank, onto the land bank's balance sheet, and the that with the designation of the instrument or financial statement formality we change, that of a guarantee, that of a physical capital amount that would be recognized on the balance sheet of the bank. During the course of the year, an amount was received and that was then classified as capital.
Thank you, Ben. With your permission, Chairperson, we will move on to the questions that were raised by, I think, Honourable Mahmoud. Important questions relating to our service delivery and the fact that we fell short, particularly on performance issues related to the effectiveness of our AFCs as well as improvement in our product offering. I think the best way to respond to this particular question, Chairperson, is to start with an acknowledgement and say that is particularly one of the reasons that I, on arrival at the land bank, made a particular change in the structural configuration of the land bank, where historically there was one executive position responsible for all lending activities of the organization. And it was my observation, and I approached the board with a proposal to say, my observation is that not enough executive attention and not enough executive leadership is placed on supporting our branch network and therefore our service points throughout the country. And therefore I split that executive position into two, where there's one executive head now responsible for the corporate segment, in other words, banking big agricultural enterprises, and then one executive responsible for managing more our development programs which are undertaken through our branch network. So really that's what I could say at the moment, that there is an acknowledgement of this particular weakness, but what is important, what are we doing about it? We have enhanced leadership, and secondly, we are going to undertake a reconfiguration subject to a consultative process in the bank, a reconfiguration of our branch network where we intend to pull them to the center into a provincial structure with greater supervision. And yes, on the product offering side, I mean, it's one of those things where the amount of innovation that happens at a service point is really not what it is supposed to be, because Chairperson, my belief with regards to development financing is that enhanced product offering, in other words, innovation, it finds expression at the level of doing a transaction. When a client comes and says, here is my need, that need gets translated into a better product offering through innovation. And these are the kinds of shortcomings that I'm very much aware of, and as the leadership are very much aware of. And honestly, all we can do at this point in time is to mention the steps that we are taking to make improvements going forward. How does the SLA work? I think in brief terms, in order for the land bank to reach as many beneficiaries as possible, we have this arrangement where we would provide a bulk facility to an institution. Let's say we want to extend our services to the Western Cape part of it. We provide a facility of, say, 500 million rand or a billion rand to a cooperative or an agri company such as, in this case, Swellendam Cooperative. And they would pass it on. They would on-lend it to individual farmers. So for doing that, for that particular arrangement, there's a particular agreed service fee model, because in effect they are delivering funding on our behalf through a retail arrangement on the ground. We have that operating in various parts of the country, but we then share the income that accrues out of that SLA. It's a well-managed system where, in effect, we place our funds in the hand of a third party, and that third party on-lends the money to the agri-community on our behalf within an agreed framework, and that particular framework we call it the service level agreement, and it's a lot of details behind it, but that is in essence how it works. The land that is not optimally farmed, this is a big problem.
Oh, when it's finished, okay.
The land that is not optimally farmed, yeah, this is a problem, and that is why the person I mentioned in my slides that we are trying our best to find a closer partnership with particularly the provincial departments of agriculture, who, in our observation, are the ones who are on the ground, who, after the land has been acquired by the state, they take responsibility for farm establishment and monitoring and so on. And as you mentioned, Chairperson, there are big problems. So I've done the rounds around the country in terms of the MCs and the various heads of Department for Agriculture. The best that we can do at the moment, which we are doing, is to formulate an approach where hopefully we can resuscitate these parcels of land by starting at the beginning. Firstly, re-identifying the appropriate beneficiaries to undertake the land. Secondly, seeking to recapitalize the farms, in other words, if there's infrastructure to be installed, replanting the land, installing infrastructure where it is required. But beyond that, seeking to ensure that such farms are integrated into the market value chain. And we'll answer that question as we go along. Because what you realize is that in addition to technical services, the farmers require to be able to farm meaningfully, but they also need a lot of support in terms of enabling market access. And the land bank alone cannot do that. We can only do so in partnership with other institutions. The last question on my note was around the demographics of the clientele. I can't remember the exact numbers. I don't know.
All the demographic information are included in annual reports from about page 105 to about page 200, which classifies in terms of the products, in terms of geographic distribution, and in terms of the credit risk exposure as well. So the sufficient information in annual reports.
A quick overview, what the key aspects of it are.
It's quite detailed. If you look at the from an animal product point of view, we start with 2015, cattle distribution would be about 65% cattle, 26% ostriches, non poultry. It would also be geographical information. That's the answer we need to provide.
I don't think we have that see-through. But we, I don't think we have that see-through. It was more sectoral information that we told you about. So we can come back to you. We can come back to you.
Thank you, Chair. I think we will move on to questions that we received, I think, from Honorable Shivam. And they'll ask me some of those to take a couple of questions.
Thank you, Chair Person. I think, indeed, the questions that have been posed by Honorable Shivam are quite crucial and central to the development of our agriculture in South Africa. The Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries has, in trying to respond to the issues that have been raised by Honorable Shivam, I'm quite aware that they released an agriculture policy action plan. And in that agriculture policy action plan, they concede to the point that has been raised by Honorable Shivam, that, for instance, the share of input, the share of fertilizer that has been imported for the input cost has increased dramatically. And you recall from the submission that was made by Mr. Nchosho that we would want to participate across the whole value chain in partnership or in collaboration with other DFIs to try to deal with and mediate around some of these issues. The strategy that has been presented by the Department of Agriculture and Forestry talks about an import substitution strategy. And I assume that import substitution strategy requires support of the land bank in terms of financing people who want to get involved in that whole chain. to address the concerns that have been raised by Honorable Shivani, because if we do not make an intervention in that input sector, the challenge that you expose farmers to fluctuation in international prices, and that feeds through your production price inflation index, and through the transmission mechanism, your inflation in the country to start to spike up. So I think in a nutshell, what I'm trying to say to one of you is that we are alert to those challenges, and as a debt provider would certainly play our role when called upon to do so.
Thank you. We will proceed on that. And I think the questions that just moving on from those, the first one was around the extent to which the land bank has facilitated access to land by previously disadvantaged people. And I think my comment that I made earlier on about the fact that I might not have at the moment and I can undertake to provide that information, but it certainly is not a substantial level of financing that we have provided towards land acquisition. It is not. In fact, if you compare the budget that we allocate towards financing at the land bank, which is somewhere in the order of around 3.5 billion a year, really in comparison to what government itself spends on land acquisition, remembering that our own budget allocation does not only go to land acquisition, but it goes to financing the various needs of the agricultural sector. So in relative terms, our contribution is small, and I think it will continue to be small, but it can be better. In terms of emerging farmers, we observe that the annual report was not distributed, but there is a segment report around what we call our retail emerging market segment, in other words, specifically emerging farmer finance. The numbers that are contained in the annual report, which is approximately just over 700 million rand or so, which has been advanced to emerging farmers for the past financial year. But I don't have the numbers in front of me in terms of the exact number of farming enterprises that we financed, but the capital sum was just over 700 million rand in that regard. And yes, the information that we sought to provide earlier on in one of the slides, I think it's slide 13, 1-3 of my presentation, sought to respond to the question of job creation based on the econometric model that we perform based on the volumes of our lending. With regards to the constraints, internal and external, that we face as an organization, or maybe before that, methodology around emerging farmers, let me put it this way. The Land Bank Act does require that we lend on a security-based approach. In other words, the Land Bank says, take a valuation of a piece of land or a farm and take a portion thereof, and I think at the moment it's around 60-70% or 80-80%, and you can lend up to that kind of a ratio. But I must mention, Chairperson, the retail emerging market product, the REM as we call it, is a completely different product which is not security based. Approximately 400 million rand or so that has been invested in various sugarcane projects in the Malelani area are on communal land, tribal land, land parcels that have been given back to communities under restitution, and by definition the land bank is unable to take security on those properties. But we have advanced, as of today, in excess of 400 million rand in that area. How have we done it? We have done it through SPV-based type cash flow lending. What I'm sorry for the long way, but it simply means here is a farmer on a piece of land. They will produce so much tons of sugar cane, and a commercial or a corporate buyer, like in this instance it's TSB, Transvaal Sugar Board, which is based in Malelane, signs up an offtake agreement today, we will buy off the entire output of that farm at this and this price. And so based on that purchase agreement,
we then structure a loan for purposes of enabling the farmer to then invest in production. And so as the output is then harvested, they sell it off to TFC, and we then get a portion of those sales proceeds to repay the loan. So it's cash flow-based lending rather than security-based lending. I must say that we intend to do more of these kind of structures, subject to us getting the appropriate counterparties who are good off-take buyers of agricultural products, because then we can lend on the basis or on the back of revenue streams. I hope that long explanation is sufficient. Internal and external constraints, and I think at this particular point in time, from where I sit, having been with the organization for a short period of time, I believe in the potential of the land bank to do more. The first constraint that I believe we have addressed is to reposition the strategy of the organization to drive a much more, maybe not aggressive, but much more robust development financing push into the growing sector of the economy, hence pillar one in my strategy document in the slide that I indicated. So reformulating the strategy to reposition properly. Secondly, enhancing the leadership of the organization. Thirdly, the third thing that we are doing is, in order to achieve our development finance outcomes, we realize that the funding of the land bank, particularly in terms of capital that we raise externally, we have to seek to raise more long-dated money. I don't know if you recall what Benny was saying, that we are funded substantially out of capital markets, and that funding is short-dated. We raise the capital today, in less than 2 years, we have to repatriate it back to the investor. But to be able to undertake investment development programs, we need to raise money that is more long-dated, the money who the repayment profile is 10 years, 15 years. And the best sources of that kind of funding at the moment is from international development finance institutions such as the African Bank and the World Bank. And of course, the third one would be equity capital if we do get it from the National Treasury. So at the moment, we are really putting together our funding plan, and we are very confident that we should be able to increase the levels of our loan-dated funding in order to provide appropriately matched funding for development finance. At the moment, we only have a facility of $500 million from the African Development Bank, which we have fully invested. We can increase that to higher levels. We only have a facility of R1 billion. All these facilities, Chairperson, are denominated in rand, not dollars. Of R1 billion from the World Bank, we can do more in that regard, and that we will be. So really answering the unlocking the capital structure of the land bank is an internal issue that we can do. Externally, it's general economic conditions that are difficult for the farming sector, as well as the risks of a natural nature like natural disaster, which are very difficult to manage. What we have seen is that, for instance, in the area of crop insurance, there are lesser insurers in the market today than there was a couple of years ago. APSA, for instance, sorry to mention their name, has since exited that particular part of the market. But what we did is, through our insurance subsidiary, we acquired that business from APSA, and we are continuing, to the best of our abilities, to provide crop insurance or insurance against natural perils, as the insurance professionals would say. So I think hopefully I've covered a couple of these questions. With your permission, Chairperson, we can move on to the issue of the interest rates of the bank. At the moment, this particular portfolio, which is called the Retail Emerging Market RAM portfolio, is offered on a concessional basis. 4% is offered farmers on this. Chairperson has to mention the following. That particular rate is
far below the cost of capital of the land bank. In effect, we are losing money, if you put it in financial terms, through that lending interest rate program. It is our considered view that it cannot be sustained in the long run, because discounted interest rate levels like we are talking about in this instance have the financial effect of eroding the capital base of the land. And when that happens, Chairperson, it is just a matter of time before we start to come running here looking for the bailout. And I'm sure you don't want us to do that. So it is something that we are not going to change drastically and irresponsibly. It is a matter that we are discussing with the National Treasury to find an appropriate funding arrangement, at least in our view, to price the retail loans or emerging market loans on a break-even basis, even if you don't have to price them on a profitable basis. But we cannot sustain a discounted a pricing system for too long before it starts eating away on the capital of the organization. It's very important for us to clarify that. How often do we write bad debts? I think Benny might have written this. What we normally do is we make provision for a client who has perhaps fallen into this. But what is important, and this talks to the drought matter, Chairperson, what happens, we have a principle of what we call carryover debt. So the farmers in the Northwest, if they are our clients, if they have been hit hard by drought, as a matter of policy in the bank, we would not shut them down. We would carry over the debt for the next season and hope that by God's grace, as the rainfall comes through and the level of production improves in such a way that they could then start servicing our loan that season. But not only do we do that, we actually provide an additional financing to enable to fund for this season that they are in now, which hopefully has better rainfall. But that kind of a relaxation is very difficult to sustain for too long, because if drought were to hit and hit and hit for four consecutive years, it would be a disaster for the land bank. So it is a combination of doing that, in other words, pushing forward their obligations so that they don't default and don't have to take legal action, but also our colleagues in the land bank insurance company do assist a lot in the event where we have provided insurance cover for crops in order to pay off the debt. The strategy opportunity that we mentioned, Honorable Member, I think it's meant to be, was around exposure to the rest of the African region. I think the strategic consideration that says if economies such as Ethiopia and Kenya and Ghana and others growing at rates in excess of 5%, perhaps there's a commercial opportunity for South African farms to export to those destinations. But I think the constraints to specific your question are still around logistics. When you speak to farmers, they say, yo, how difficult is it to get products into the Ghana port, for instance, where there's not enough containers and things like that. So infrastructure logistics are a bit difficult in some of the jurisdictions. And secondly, I think generally farmers take a conservative view. What I mean is they don't give credit terms. They want to trade on cash. And that limits volumes of trading and so on and so on. But we are aware of what the African Union and other initiatives around NAMPAS and so on are doing to improve the economic climate. The African continent is our continent, so we have to take a long-term view. Jonathan, I don't know if I've missed any questions from... Yes, there was a question around water rise. It's just an observation that we have made in certain instances. I think it's in one part of Western Cape where there was an aspirant farmer who was sort of struggling to get water rights allocations and things like that. And again, we're not raising this kind of moaning and kind of complaining, just to say, from where we sit, when we strategize project financing on a farm, we want all the
building blocks of a successful farm to be in place, including adequate water. And so we, to the extent that we can, we speak to our colleagues at Water Affairs to try and address those. So it was just a policy highlight, really. Chairperson, with your permission, there is quite a series of questions that came in particular from yourself, and we deal with those. And that will be in my note, the last tranche of questions before we take. Reasons for not achieving targets. So then I think I might have touched on this, particularly on this. Yeah, the decline in net profit was particularly around water revenue.
Just briefly, if you look at the results in general, the group results, both a bank component and an insurance component. The bank component marginally exceeded previous year profitability. The insurance component had profit less than previous year, mainly as a result of additional claims to pay on crop insurance, the claim ratio increased, and this is the once-off event, a major crop insurance claims. And secondly, the issue that was raised was relating to investment income. In the insurance entity, there are statutory related investments that is required from an FSG point of view, and those with the invested in certain equities as in bonds and in other investments, and some of those investments did not perform in the same way as performed the previous year. So if that's taken away all that dumping noise, that is where these areas of weaker performance can be isolated. And that can also address the issue of the control environment. We have to separate the role of external audit versus the role of internal audit. External audit provided an unqualified report of the financial statements of the latter. Internal reported in the course of the financial year with review a number of principal operational and other environments in the land bank. I have highlighted specific functions where the control environment was strong, such as finance, treasury, credit, operations, which are key areas in the bank. Over and above that, specific areas of concern were raised in some of the other functions in the bank, like for instance HR or for instance legal or whatever environment. And those weaknesses were identified and management have taken the necessary steps to resolve it to ensure that by the end of the financial year the external auditors could provide an unqualified report.
I think it's very important for us to clarify that. During the course of the year, the internal audit function performs continuous audits, and they report to this audit committee, which is independent, as I mentioned earlier on. And during such audits, it does happen that they pick up issues that need improvement. The important thing is we then act, and we did in this particular instance, to redress them, to address them, so that by the time the auditor general comes for a massive audit of the whole organization, they have comfort that indeed we have closed the gap. There is an issue here, Chairperson, which is I think the last one, probably the last one, on the profile of the staff. I think the profile of the staff is contained in the report, I can't remember which paper. However, let me just, page 50 then, but however, let me say the following. If you look, Chairperson, at the executive team that I have assembled since I joined the land bank, there were a couple of vacancies. This is slide 3 of my presentation. We are serious, I'm serious, with the support of the Land Bank Board in ensuring diversity in the land bank. It's not by default and or by coincidence that the executive team from a diversity composition looks the way it does. That's correct. Correction. Yes. And however, looking down at the rest of the organization, it is a statement of fact that many of our provincial offices and branch offices have not migrated towards the level of diversity that we desire as we speak here today. And the numbers are there. It is a commitment that we have to make. It is a commitment that I made to address progressively going forward. But starting with the executive team, I'm sure, I hope committee members can at least take my word for now.
Could you just put the questions down in place? After next Friday, you can just do the reply. Situation is not your answer. And we will insert some of it in our report and also, we don't want long reports. This committee seeks to do shorter reports and focus more on what we think should be done in the next year or so.
No, okay.
The next Friday is the agenda.
Thanks. I did answer a question on drought. I did talk about the effort that we are going to be putting around land reform in cooperation with the Peace Sector Department. And I did talk to the issue of the water rights. Yeah, thank you.
We can't get a complete full-blown answer to every question. There are follow-ups, and Hanvi is the first to. And then Al.
I know that the follow-up committee will sound a little bit unfair to them because it's more of a sector approach. In fact, it could have been an ideal situation if we had the Department of Rural Development and the Department of Agriculture in one meeting so that we can have concessions. For instance, what I'm going to talk to relates to Pillar 3 and Pillar 4, sector productivity and certification and other innovation. If you want to, in terms of the opportunities and challenges, speak to improvement of sector productivity. The other day, Chair, I was reading an article about the sector having challenges with EU restrictions of African citrus products, say that there's molds on them. And I knew from a trade perspective that it was not true. They were trying to minimize the imports of South African citrus so that their own farmers can compete in that market, right? Now, if you're talking about productivity, the investment, and I'm speaking to Randbank because of the shareholder, they hold the test. If a farmer say, I want to produce product A, the first question that should come to mind is that, are you not entering a regulated market? Are you not venturing into something that will not yield good results? And because it's my best, I must be concerned. Because not because we repay the loan, but because we want innovation, we want high productivity level, we want to have more exports, right? So it should come to credit. And if you get new agents, those are the people that should be targeted to produce a high quality product that are exported. And obviously very passionate about production of canned food, for instance, for export, because there was a clear market identified for that commodity, right? I'm not kind of asking for a specific product. I'm just as an example of how perhaps when we move on. But I said it so, the African Development Bank has never looked south in the past in terms of its investment portfolio. It has actually provided very low investment portfolio, especially to the south in particular. And I think we've arrived at a situation where we need to convert more funding from the African Development Bank. But when listening to the CEO, I get worried about the DBSA's role there. Because the capital injection that we need to get in terms of regional policies must come from that sector. It means long-term financial injection will fail us more than anybody else. That's my take. So, people like over there would need to assist us with more money, really. And so that when we go and say to the African Development Bank, I said, look, we got this much, and I think you can complement it with this amount. And I said, a friend who worked for the African Development Bank, I wish I could speak to him and say, can you look at South Africa in this context and provide more? So the other sector governments must be able to have clear strategies. They should not just look at land restitution and distribution and not say we are interested in what we're going to produce at the end of the day, because it speaks much wider than that. We can't be importing staple food like maize. The other day I was listening to, I don't know whether Grand Bank or RSA was saying that we're going to import white maize. And they were giving actually alarming percentages of, No, of course it was very TV, not for me.
Okay, madam.
So we will be interested in a productivity model, not necessarily presented by Land Bank, but by this other sector department in support of the funding model that you are about to take. And I'm happy when you say that actually the model that we take is where there will be an uptake where the entire output will be bought by interested parties. So it's known from the production level that when you produce this, there's already a market for that.
I know it's not your responsibility, but sometimes it will be nice if you help to identify. I know you are giving you additional responsibilities by doing that. But the marketing element of any product is imperative more than anything else. So I'm saying, as the person holder, you need to take a little bit of interest of those issues. I know some people are really kidding me because they would say, who's going to pay those people who are doing all that type of work on behalf of Blendbeck and all. So when I ask about the written land, actually I was trying to get concrete figures and a template that speaks to, is it women, is it young people, is it black people, and what have been the challenges, so that when we speak to our state departments who are specific and say, you have not helped in terms of marketing their products, these are the people that are the challenges. Of course, natural disasters is something else. It's something beyond your control. But you might find that there was no adequate training on how to market the product. For instance, I know we lose our market share on beef to our neighbor, Namibia. We get more beef imported from Namibia. We can close that gap without eroding our relationship with our strategic counterparts. cutting the ice with him. So, yeah, I don't want to speak the whole day, you know, but... Yeah. But what I was asking earlier about whether our funding model is not restrictive, like what people have been citing with the IDC. I would want to see more young people venture into agriculture. It is easy for them to get into the space. And it's been made easier for them. Had they been lobbied to take interest in that. You know, your countries after the Second World War, when everybody else was giving their armament and building frigates, they were straight into the agricultural sector. So you can't compare the genuine trade with any other trade, right? Even if you don't like it, or you've got, even if you said you've got a problem while you've given the account to German and Danish companies. But it's given, you can't compare the genuine trade with any other trade in the world. It's a fact. Actually, they take our own fertilizers to use in high bulk. Huh? They pay too much attention to that sector. They've invested in that sector. And it is good enough. I don't know.
So that's fine. And I've seen it in people when they raise questions on very specific, right? So, No. I would like to know, what is your objective? Is it to bring potatoes in imported or bottled or chips? Or fried potatoes. Be precise. What is it that you're you really cut up on potatoes. Like obsessed with potatoes. You say, what about potatoes? Five guys, you know, nothing. The one thing that's clear, though, it's not just the crop. I mean, we have been importing. I mean, we're reading it in the executive, remember, Tandy? This is something where the drought can be explained part of the problem. But as LP, so the farmer himself, will tell you, they've been botching it up because, you know, the farmers need to be sorted out, but also government needs to be sorted out. So it's not just the truck. But having said that, Alf, it's over to you.
I'll do my best to be specific, Mr. Chairman. And when you refer to me, I prefer the five times. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Just in terms of the classification of impairment, there was three missed installments. I know the rules will be much more than just three missed installments, but that doesn't include, I hope, where the annual installments, because then it pushes out 3 years. So just give me some comfort on that one. So that's a quick, easy answer. Then, why was the guarantee withdrawn and 500 million rand paid in during this year? I mean, it was a cash injection. What triggered that change from a guarantee to a cash injection? Chairman, then my last one is on page 127, there's 755,000 rands worth of loan to current employees and 622,000 rands worth of loan to former employees. And the amount seems to be not moving very much year on year, in fact going up. I'm just, what is the next mission there? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
In terms of products with annual installment, the classification is two missed installments, before that's about the non-performing loan. In terms of the problem, I guess you're not sure you aware what was. So the current tenancy is very, very old, but I think in specific
here, we, you know, it happened early in their
financial. So a little bit slim on the information. And the last question was about
looking on Friday. Between you and Stal, and what's my friend's name on TV over there?
Brandon.
You've been before. You can put the questions together and send it to you in the next 48 hours.
In terms of the loans, those loans have been incredibly long, like 25 year loans. So the movement is very small. On a year-on-year basis. There's not a lot of new loans being granted to employees at this point in time, but it is something that is quite well managed within the, within the bank and in the business.
The former employees, there's no problem there.
These are good mortgage loans. So, I mean, obviously, if there's any default, the mortgage would be executed and the house would be attacked and so on. So it's pretty free secured. But now there are no issues about recoverability at all.
Okay. Don't do any of those anymore.
Chair, on the currency, this was the last amount that was outstanding from the shareholder. It's in relation to the old currency that was issued to us by National Treasurer Party. It was made available to the Fed in tranches, it was the last tranche. Yeah.
Chair, I can just make comments that I observe and take note of the comments that we made around issues of trade and so on. But yes, what we do when we conduct due diligence is we do place a lot of emphasis on commodity economics. What is the commodity that the farmer is either seeking to grow or to expand or whatever the case might be. We have agricultural economists at the bank who perform this economic evaluation of the projects that we fund. And yes, what the Honourable Member is talking about is an approach, if you like, which is sort of a commodity-based approach. In other words, when we fund projects, do we look around and look at crops and other commodities of high economic potential? For instance, macadamia is one of those in recent times that has like a runaway train in terms of its economic performance. Potential for expanding canola seeds in the Southern Cape and things like that. And yes, that particular one slide about strategy is just an extract of a... page document where there is a whole articulation of the various commodity potentials of the country and very much aligned to the research that was done by the National Development Plan on the chapter on agriculture. And so going forward, that is precisely what we intend to do. What are those commodities that hold the greatest bang for buck potential? Where if we invest, we tend to create more jobs, better value chain benefits and better export potential. That is the journey, the development finance of us that we are. But the strategy is clear. Yes, the African Development Bank, I take note of that and can do better on that. I think in terms of the written off, actually, it's very interesting, the aggregate numbers that are in the annual report, and we'll explain this. Defaults from small scale farmers are not that big. Particularly in this structured cash flow-based lending program that I was talking about, because they farm and they produce and the revenue is almost guaranteed. So the default rate on emerging farmers is actually very low, you realize. But it won't necessarily remain there because you know, they are more vulnerable to certain risks than big farmers. who are more diversified and so on. But we'll provide a bit more granularity in the report on that.
Chairperson, I think the Honourable Tuarez has commented on the issue of youth involvement in agriculture, which I think is important, and which would require collaboration from various stakeholders, including members, to ensure that the youth should start to find agriculture attractive. There's a perception that agriculture is not sexy, and what might look sexy might be, you know, getting involved in tenders and all sorts of stuff. So I think it's important that we build the base right by ensuring that our agricultural schools produce the necessary skills that will ensure that young people play a meaningful role in the agricultural sector. I think that's a very important question.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't want a discussion. I'm just telling you what I see. I don't actually know. But in the last 10 years or so, I've seen the odd surveys done, which seem to suggest reasonably consistently, I don't know whether I'm right, that young people are not interested in farming. Even people in rural areas are seeking to... You see, in a previous role, I was responsible for pulling together the integrated urban development framework. And we had a very compelling team of researchers from agriculture and urbanization specialists. And I can recall one of the themes that came out, it's not just young people, it's actually the survey. Look, I don't know. These surveys are done by black and white people, sociologists and economists. I'm just telling you what it's worth. There's a reasonable consistency, according to what I remember then, about not just young people, but many people in the rural areas wanting to and not actually take up farming. I don't know how valid that is. I'm just telling you what I know. It's a challenge. It's easy to say. That's why I like the way you say it. You know, it's not something that's sexy, but people want to do other things. But
I think
that I'm not at the point of making more closely that actually also, it's very, maybe it's because also grueling work. I mean, to get a job, even in a factory, you know, you're there at 8 o'clock, you're out at 5, you have a union, which will take up your rights. 4,000% increase there will margin. You work in a farm, you are subject to this drought condition. I see the experts are saying for the last another 2 to 3 years. Right. But, you know, I don't know that we want to pursue this further now. We will call you back if we need to. Now, what you're asking members to do, you tell David that by next Wednesday, if you've got questions, can you please give them to us? We can mandate David to particularly look at ages 195. I don't mean here, right? 195, what is it? Can he summarize for us? Right. Because he's got nothing to do on Sunday. Why is that land on Sunday? You know, church. Well, he can, after church, what are you going to do after church? Nothing. Whole days got nothing to do. Right. I mean, so... No. Look, Al, can you say the committee has mandated him to read pages 195 to 199, and tell us exactly what the demographic breakdown is of the support services and their office, and can he do a 20-page report for the committee next week? Now, having said that, members, unless we have anything, can we just say that the majority of us here actually are impressed overall, you know? Obviously, we have our reservations and so on, but you know where you were and where you are. It's great, really. And I think we should encourage you. You're a very new CEO. I'm going to look you up. Right. She is supposed to perform the way it is. I mean, I'm not going to bring you expect it from him. But CEO, I must tell you my own view. Never mind what anybody else thinks, whichever party they come from, including my own. My view is, you're a very good CEO of mine. I'm not impressed just with your words, because hey, people come here and they're very articulate and all that. Even if English is not their first language, they're brilliant and all that, they do wonderful slides, and then nothing else. So what about the issue of another? There's something about the way you present things. It's more than just words. You obviously know what you're doing, and you're a new CEO there, and I'm very impressed, personally. You know, and you must take me seriously, I've been here since 1641. And frankly, you know, the first few years we used to get, I said, you know how we used to get impressed with our officials, eh? He'd come with his slides. Well, after a year or two, he said, you know what,
It's the same slide from last year. They changed the color and they changed the few lines and so on. Amen. And I'm on the other side, let me tell you, astounding.
I don't want to say anything more. Often what comes there is spent. But what I get from you is very little spent. Actually, very interesting. Somebody who's just coming there. It seems to be. So I'm impressed. You've got a very good team, Jeff. Obviously very impressed with you. We know you, right? But it's interesting to please you, right? So Mr. Malotra and your team, really impressed. Never mind what anybody else, whichever party they are, they're not even here right now. And wish you well. But we're not going to let you off because we would like to come back and also, you know, some lessons can be drawn on why it works with you and not other institutions. So the procedure is this. We're summarizing, within 7 days, any members or any Christians having read the report, now they have no excuse, they will actually present them in writing. Secondly, between Michael your name is Brendan, my friend, they will put together Bishop's many questions and any further questions they want to ask. And that's it. And we will expect, let's be realistic, given the way things work, within 4 to 6 months, we will send our report. We would like you to send us a reply to our question, what is the progress on the issues that are before the peace and so on, right? Sally, anything else before we run up?
No, Chair, just reporting that Pinky was otherwise, we're just reporting that Pinky was sick, that's why it's a digital company.
Yeah, okay. And while you are at that, the ANC members, wish you well, we'll phone us. ANC members, can you remain behind? And the rest of you, can you vamoose? Go.
I'm
asking that.